Good afternoon. My name is Owen Egan. I am the chairman of the Freedom of Information Commission. This is the commission's regular meeting of February 28th, 2024. The public may listen to the meeting in real time by following the instructions listed at the top of the commission's meeting agenda currently posted on the commission's website. In addition, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety. For the benefit of the public, particularly those who may be listening to the meeting by telephone, I'll take a roll call so that the record reflects who is participating today. When I say your name, please indicate that you are present. Commissioner Barry, Commissioner Einhorn, Commissioner Farish.
Present.
Commissioner Fusashi.
Here.
Commissioner Goolsbee.
Here.
Mr. Ganswin. Mr. Hankins.
Here.
Mr. Streeter.
Here.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, here. Similarly, when the commission conducts a vote, it will be by roll call. The first item is consideration of the commission's regular meeting of the minutes of the commission's regular meeting of February 14th, 2024. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter here. I move adoption of the minutes of the commission's regular meeting of February 14th, 2024.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Mr. Goolsbee?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next, we will consider the hearing officer's reports. I will call the docket. If you wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when I call it and we will mark it ready. We will take up the cases in the order that they are called. Calling first, docket number FIC 2023-0140, Cordero Silva versus James Ravella, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Emergency Services and Public Protections, et al. Are you there, Mr. Silva?
He's not there. The complaint if he didn't want to wish to appear.
Okay. Is anyone here for the State of Connecticut? I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Mr. Farish?
Yes.
Mr. Fusashi?
Yes.
Mr. Goolsbee?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0156, Patrick Lexus versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection, et al. Are you there, Mr. Lexus?
Mr. Chairman, again, the complainant does not wish to participate.
Is there anyone here for the State of Connecticut? And entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Mr. Fusashi?
Yes.
Mr. Goolsbee?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0409, Kenneth Roger versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Administrative Services, et al. This was withdrawn. Does anyone wish to be heard on that matter? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
Yeah. Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption with your support.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion. Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Mr. Fusashi?
Yes.
Mr. Goolsbee?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan? Yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0131, Michael Cepitelli versus Chair, Planning Zoning Commission, Town of East Windsor, Planning and Zoning Commission in Town of East Windsor and Town of East Windsor. Is there anyone here on that matter? Would you like to be heard? We'll mark that.
Here for the respondent as well.
I'm sorry?
Here for the respondent as well.
And you are?
I'm in here.
Spell your last name, counsel.
M-C-C-A-N-N.
Thank you. We'll mark that ready. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0132, Robert Lee versus Mayor, City of Derby, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Your Honor, Brian LeClaire, Bertram Moses, on behalf of the City of Derby. We have no objection to this being adopted and just wanted to note for the record our thanks to the hearing officer for noting in his decision the involvement of the new mayor and the new town attorney's office in this case. Thank you.
Thank you. Does Mr. Lee wish to be heard on this matter? Is Mr. Lee here? Hearing none, I'll take an entertaining motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, seeing that the complaint is not here, there's no objection to the respondent, I move adoption of the hearing officer.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there discussion?
Commissioner Hankins, just to follow up from respondent's counsel, I'd like to thank Attorney Munn for following this case through all these twists and turns. This case, and I would note that if there was no change in the administration or the council, I've known the law firm, I've been on the other side of that law firm for 20-something years, that if there was not a change in council or change in administration, I would have seriously considered having them, go through more education, FOA education, and Mr. Lee did not want to pursue after discussion, Mr. Lee did not want to pursue a fine because that would have involved another hearing, and he's actually in Florida, so I believe that this municipality is on the path to following the Freedom of Information Commission, so I'm happy with that.
Okay. Anything further? All right. Motion's been made and seconded. So no further discussion. I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0167, Thomas Goldenberg Corporation Counsel, Office of the Corporation Counsel, City of New Haven, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? Does anyone wish to be heard on that matter? Is Thomas Goldenberg here? I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, I'll move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. And last but not least is docket number FIC 2023-0172, James B. Savoy versus Chair, State of Connecticut Electrical Work Examining Board, Department of Consumer Protection, et al. Is James B. Savoy here? Is anyone from the State of Connecticut here that wishes to be heard?
Yes, Your Honor. James Rocco for the State of Connecticut. We have no objection to the hearing officer's motion. We just ask that the commission adopt the form.
Do you know if Mr. Savoy planned on coming?
I did not speak to Mr. Savoy. I did reach out to him about 30 days ago when we got the notice, and I have not heard back.
Okay. Thank you. All right. I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, this was a dismissal. Seeing that the complaint is not here, there's no objection to the respondent. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Farish? Commissioner?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan? Yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, counsel. All right. Before we consider the cases, I will ask the Executive Director, Colleen Murphy, to please make the usual announcement.
Sure. As the Chairman indicated, these proceedings are being recorded in their entirety. If anybody would like access to that, they should be posted on our website very soon after this meeting. If anyone has any issue getting that, just contact our office. And second, pursuant to our regulations, I think we just have one case right now, but for the parties appearing, oral argument is limited to 10 minutes per side, and I'll keep track of that for the parties.
Thank you. So calling docket number FIC 2023-0131, Michael Sapatelli versus Chair, Planning and Zoning Commission, Town of East Windsor, et al.
Good afternoon, Commissioners.
Good afternoon. Would you wait for everyone to be seated, please?
Attorney Scott Langenfelter, on behalf of the proponent, Michael Sepetelli.
Yes, sir.
Michael Sepetelli.
How do we pronounce that?
Cepetelli.
Cepetelli, I'm sorry.
It's quite all right.
Thank you. And counsel, could you spell your last name?
Attorney Lingenfelter. That's L-I-N as in Nancy, G-E-N as in Nancy, F as in Frank, E-L-T as in Tom, E-R.
Just as it sounds.
Just as it sounds.
Yeah, got it. Thank you. Please identify yourself.
I'm Ruth Ann Calabrese. I'm the town planner of East Windsor.
Thank you.
Brian McCann from Pullman Comley for the respondent town.
Thank you. Attorney McCann, would you like to begin?
The town has reviewed the decision, the proposed final decision. Okay. The town's reviewed the proposed final decision, agrees with the findings as the facts reflect in the record. There was a hearing on a particular application, and the town through council became aware of some procedural deficiencies, and it had chosen on its own to redo the hearing. The hearing did go back to the Planning and Zoning Commission. It was reheard, and those procedural deficiencies were corrected. The town also had a person who was in charge of keeping the minutes and posting the minutes, and they now have a new person that is in charge of those roles and responsibilities. The town has no objection to going through some FOIA training as recommended in the proposed final decision. However, the primary reason that we're here today is because the plaintiffs had suggested that specific individuals attend, specific agencies attend the training. And I would just note for the commissioners that the allegations and the findings are consistent in that the Planning and Zoning Commission was responsible for these FOIA violations or shortcomings. And we would ask, certainly we would invite everyone that from the town that's willing and able to attend. We think it's certainly beneficial and probably less that my firm has to do in terms of training. So those are all good things. We would just ask, though, that while the town will welcome all commission members and employees to attend the training, we ask that if there are any required attendees, that they be limited to the agencies that were found responsible for the deficiencies. That's all I have. Thank you for the time.
Thank you. Attorney Lingenfelter.
Thank you, Commissioner. We appreciate the time that the hearing officer gave us and the decision that she recommends here. Our concerns come with the training itself for the town of East Windsor. There is no timeline set in the decision for when that training should be commenced and completed by. We just like to make sure their feet are held to the fire and there's some sort of reasonable time frame that they complete it within a certain period. Also, the respondents here was not just the East Windsor Planning and Zoning Commission, but it was also the town of East Windsor in general. We do think, considering that this is a habitual problem with the town of East Windsor, posting minutes late and not complying with the Freedom of Information regulations, that more than just the zoning commission should be required to get FOI training. Otherwise, we'll be back here again, spending hearing officer time and commissioner time doing this with each and every department within the commission or within the town of East Windsor. Let's address it all at once, make sure they're trained, make sure they're following the rules. No, we're not taking new testimony here, but even in the last week, they failed to post Board of Selectmen minutes within the 7-day timeframe. We followed up on and it's not posted at the end of this week. You know, they should have posted by mid last week. It's an ongoing problem there. So we do appreciate the recommendation. We would like to see them get training. We would like to see them comply with the Freedom of Information Act, not just the Zoning Commission, but the entire town of East Windsor government. So we would like to see it directed to the first selectman and the other chairman of boards and commissions, if not the entire board and commission, but at least the chairman as a representative of their boards and commissions to get this training to make sure that the rules are complied with.
Thank you. Councilman.
While the respondents do include the town of East Windsor, that issue, that exact issue, specifically lack of compliance from other agencies, was a matter before the hearing officer. And also, the complainant was specifically cross-examined as to specific evidence of FOIA violations. And the record reflects that there was no specific evidence of any other FOIA violations in the record. So, we don't believe that it would be appropriate to require other agencies based on speculation or hearsay or the testimony that's not subject to cross-examination here today. We don't know of any other violations. We don't have proof of any other violations. So like I said, while we will invite other agencies within the town, I think it's beneficial. I think the town's position is that it would just not want to be punished if some particular agency members were unable to attend.
Thank you. Commissioners?
This is Commissioner Hankins. In terms of a time limit, it says, you know, that the respondents shall contact the commission forthwith, so it'll be quick. The second thing is it notes that the training is for the respondents, so it would include the, you know, Planning and Zoning Commission as well as probably, presumably, members of the town of East Windsor. So I don't know what that would be encompass, but it would seem like it would encompass more than just the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Commissioner Streeter, yeah, I was about to say something similar to Commissioner Hankins that it does no harm in having, you know, more people. If we're sending our staff training officer to the town, it's a benefit that, you know, you're being provided to assist you so that we don't have further cases before us. So while I would say that my interpretation may be more of a narrower scope, that it is the Planning and Zoning Commission, there is a benefit to the entire town to have as many people be there, have the ears on training as possible. So my recommendation to Attorney McCann is just to see, you know, have your client, you know, not just do the letter of the law, but try and, you know, do the spirit as well. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Attorney Cronin.
Paula Cronin for the record. I'm the hearing officer. So just first to clarify who the respondents are, the complaint was filed against the Planning and Zoning Commission. The addition of Town of East Windsor is just the way we docket our cases. So it's just more for the caption. So it really, it's not against the Town of East Windsor, the whole town of East Windsor. So that's why the decision or proposed decision focuses on whether or not the Planning and Zoning Commission violated the FOI Act. Now, at the hearing, there were some allegations against other departments and how they failed to, or agencies and how they allegedly failed to post minutes, also timely, but again, because this was filed against the Planning and Zoning Commission, I didn't make any findings or conclusions regarding other agencies. Now, in terms of the timeframe for the workshop, I think part of it is also working with our public education officer and seeing when he's available. I think you would have to ask him how soon it could be done. But I would recommend sooner rather than later. But again, I don't know what his schedule is like.
Just as a follow-up, so my understanding of forthwith would be that they contact him forthwith
yeah.
if he's tied up for the next 3 or 4 months, and that's when they get to it. That's not necessarily hindrance to the town, but it's just that they've reached out and begun the conversations.
And I know he already has a number of training.
It's a busy month of work.
Yes.
So. Thank you.
So for clarification's sake, would it be done within the next 90 days? Is that what you anticipate?
Yeah, we could do it in the next 90 days.
Next 90 days. And then with regard to respondents, just for clarification, that only referred to the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Correct.
And so Mr. Streeter's remarks were to the respondents that please have as many people from the town there to take advantage of that. And council is nodding his head.
We intend to. I just for further clarity, I agree with Mr. Streeter wholeheartedly. We are going to invite as many people to this training as possible. Since things have been somewhat strained between the respondent and the complainant, I would just worry that the complaint, we may be back here if certain individuals, were not at that training. Obviously, people have different schedules. I have a demanding schedule as much as I'd like to be there, and I would. Things come up, and I wouldn't want those other agents. We're going to invite those other agencies. I want the record to be clear on that. We think it's a good thing. However, if some two or three people from any given agency are not there, we would hate to be back in front of the FOIA Commission for that absence. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything further? I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Heck, a second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Parrish?
Yeah.
Mr. Fusashi?
Yes.
Mr. Goldsby?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you all.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. Thank you. So I think the next matter is the David Godbold case.
Yes, I'm going to ask Herman to come address the commission on that.
So we got the decision in the Godbout case. It's a really good decision. The court was pretty thorough about Mr. Godbout's constitutional claims and particularly about our executive director's ability to recommend that a case not be scheduled because it would cause an abuse of the commission's process. Interestingly, this case was appealed to the Superior Court, and we had a scheduling order, and Mr. Godbout decided that he was not going to follow the scheduling order, so he filed a motion for summary judgment. And it was interesting because, I was just following along with the scheduling order when we got the motion for summary judgment. So when Mr. Godbout decided he was going to file that kind of motion, it opened up the door for the commission to respond and file its own cross motion for summary judgment. So in the process, and I usually don't have props, I was able to go outside of the record and with the help of Russell Blair, create an exhibit for the court on our cross motion to show what we've been through. Wow. Mr. Godbout and for the other commissioners, Russell Blair created an exhibit for me to file along with an affidavit from our executive director to explain to the court the breadth of the complaints that we've dealt with from Mr. Godbout. And I think that it was very helpful because you'll see on the very top and second page of the decision, the court notes that in her recommendation, the executive director noted that Mr. Godbout had filed over 450 complaints with the commission over the years, and that at the time, Mr. Godbout had 20 other pending complaints. So I was able to actually get the exhibit before the court because it was a motion for summary judgment. So it really kind of solidified the executive director's power to recommend that a case not be scheduled. And unfortunately, there's an appeal has been filed. We received it yesterday, so we're going up on this case. But
who's representing Mr. Godbout?
Mr. Godbout is representing Mr. Godbout. So, yeah. So it was good, though. I mean, I think it was a really good decision. It was a strong decision. The constitutional arguments are well decided. And the, you know, the 1206B2 and B3 powers of the executive director are very well considered. And I think that we have a very nice record as we head up to the appellate court. I usually don't get to go outside the record and put, I thank Russell too for creating the exhibit for me. And Colleen had a nice affidavit on top, and it was a good oral argument. So we'll see what the appellate court has to say.
So I saw this was Judge Bunzik who rendered the decision.
Yes, it was. Yes.
Is Judge Bunzik get all of these, or is it assigned to various judges?
He gets the majority of them. I think that he has the ability. He has been asking other judges, some JTRs, to take some cases for him as well. But the majority, I think, he's hearing our cases. Really nice judge to argue in front of, too. Very well prepared, very very calm, super prepared. So, yeah, it's nice. So
that's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's usually a lot of work when you go up with this plaintiff. Thank you.
It must have been nice to do a summary judgment instead, right?
It was. It was. The exhibit was really helpful, I think. Yeah, I mean, it really opened up my ability to put in lots of different things that we've dealt with over the years. So we have a lot of exhibits. That was just one of the more of the fun exhibits, I think.
Did you wish to report on some other pending appeals?
So, which ones?
I just want to report that we did get a decision.
Yeah, we got a decision from the Supreme Court in the Drum case. Which was Commissioner Streeter was the hearing officer. It was a very good decision. Because remember, we won in front of the Superior Court when the presiding judge was Judge Clow, and then Madison appealed, and the Supreme Court took the case up and on the road. and so the Supreme Court, we'll talk about it more at the next commission meeting.
We're going to put it on the agenda. It just came out yesterday, but we thought we...
The Supreme Court embraced Judge Clow's standard for the prospective law enforcement exemption. It was very pro-disclosure, extremely pro-disclosure, but the court considered what Judge Clow did was to create a new standard that they have adopted, and based on the new standard, they want the case to come back to the commission so that the standard can be applied as the trial court, and the Supreme Court kind of shined it up a little bit more, and we can talk about that. But I think it's a very good decision for us in terms of what law enforcement has to do in order to prove an exemption to disclosure, particularly with regard to a cold case. And there's some language in there that was really, really helpful in terms of, you know, the longer a case remains cold, the commission has the option to increase the burden of proof with regard to the exemption. It's not going to be simply the case is open and, you know, there's no statute of limitations and that someday maybe we'll do something. It's going to be a lot more than that. And so they put some real teeth on the exemption. I was really pleased with the pro-transparency feel of this decision. It was unanimous decision, so that was also very nice. We didn't get a bunch of different
judges on the Supreme Court?
So we had a five-judge panel. We had the Chief Justice, Chief Justice Robinson, and we had Doria, Mullins, Ecker, and Elgo. I think Judge Elgo's from the, I think from the appellate court. Yes, yeah, so we had a five-judge panel. And this case was argued about a year and 5 months ago. And then about 5 months ago, we got a notice that the five-member panel, two more justices were being added, and they added Justice McDonald and Justice Danahy. So we had a full panel. Because the two justices that were added after argument, they reviewed all of the briefs, and they reviewed the oral argument. So it was in bonk. So it was a really good decision, and I will we'll put it on the agenda for the next commission meeting. But
that's great. Thank you.
Yeah,
okay. We will have some more work to do, though. Unfortunately, we'll explain that later. But it is that's more of a really good standard for going forward, I think. Okay. Thanks, Felicia. So. Nothing under executive director's report, under staff reports. I want to introduce you to our newest attorney. She's right over here. Mary Beth Sullivan has joined our team just a few days ago, and we're already giving her some tasks to do. So we welcome her to our office and welcome her to the hearing room and all that goes with being an attorney here.
Always nice to see somebody making it through the eating without walking away.
this was quite a short one, right? Or at least so far. We're going to get to the
legislature. I did. Yeah. I cheated. Yeah. I knew that the prisoners weren't there when I picked the times.
Okay. Okay, so under legislative report, we may want to give a little report. The public hearings are starting this week, and we'll be giving some testimony. Russell's going to step up and do some testimony. What is it, tomorrow, Russell?
Yes,
on our first public hearing of the session. And maybe you could mention that, Bill.
Or sure.
Whatever other ones you guys think are important.
Sure. So tomorrow, the Public Safety Committee has a public hearing, and there is a proposal. The sort of intended goal of it is to align, you know, there's the signed witness statement exemption within, you know, within our act. What's happening more and more, we're learning, is departments now are doing all the witness statements on body cameras. You know, they're running the body camera, okay, give me your statement. They've since realized that, you know, those witness statements are not exempt from disclosure. So now they're looking at changing the law, removing the word signed. So it would be witness statements are exempt from disclosure. However, our view is by doing that, you're really broadening it to include, you know, any information that witnesses give. Because if you just say witness statements, that could include, you know, statements synthesized in a police report. It could include audio statements. It could include 911 calls, any witness statements. So, you know, our position was if the intention is to treat these, you know, recorded, sworn body camera statements the same as what's written down, they need to be more specific about addressing that. And then the other piece of it, too, is that, you know, after Sandy Hook, there was the exemption put in about dealing with photographs of, you know, homicide victims. When they passed the body camera law, they expanded what's covered under the body camera law in terms of, you know, the scenes and incidents and things like that that can't be disclosed. It includes, you know, fatal accidents, scenes of domestic violence, suicide. That's not currently in the exemption for non-video records. So if you had a photograph of a fatal accident and you could see the victim, that's not covered under what's in the law enforcement statute. That one we have less of an issue with, but more that the language they proposed is not mirroring what's in the body camera statute. So if the idea is to treat videos and photographs the same, there's some language in the body camera statute that allows people who are either, you know, minors and their representatives or defendants in a criminal case to get access to the original record. So if you were, you know, a defendant in a fatal accident, you could still get access to the photographs of the scene and things like that the same way you could if it was a body camera video. So it's not necessarily a bad bill. It's more about just making sure that the language is clear and intending to do what we think they're intending to do and not creating a wide new exemption that would lead to, you know, witness information being, you know, redacted from police reports on a wider basis. So that's coming up tomorrow. And then do you want to talk about some of the other bills?
So since our last commission meeting, the Government Administration Elections Committee met and raised some concepts. And I emphasize concepts because we don't have language for them. Some of them we think are similar, are going to be bills that were raised last session. One of them deals with OPM and data sharing agreements and which agency you have to go to obtain the records. So we do have some language for that. The other deals with just, and I'm looking actually at the language like for the concept, you know, revisions to the FOI Act concerning employees of public agencies. That's all it says. We think it's probably deals with addresses or access to personnel records. So I think it's one, could be both. But we think that that's where it's going. The other, it's more specific in terms of the body cam, the redactions, the body cam videos and the fees, as well as some, you know, exemptions. So that proposal, I would think it'd be similar to the language that came out last year, but that one hasn't been scheduled for a public hearing. There's also, they did vote to raise the FOI Commission's proposal, so that's good. So this is the third year in a row, so hopefully third time's a charm, it'll get passed. There's also the, they did raise the university exemption bill. We don't have language for that one yet, but I can't imagine it being any better than it was the one last year, which essentially, as I reported last year, with the way it was written, would exempt pretty much every record from the held by a custodian university, so pretty much university exempt from disclosure or public university. Let's see. Then there's a concept that was raised, an act concerning freedom of information. That's all we have on that one. And a comment made at the GAE committee meeting saying that it deals with reforms to the FOI Act. We don't know what, that's all the information I have on that one.
It's a secret.
Let's see. And then we also have one that's an act exempting information regarding certain vulnerable individuals. So we don't have any language for that proposal. Subsequent to that meeting, two more proposals were raised. One dealing with the requirement that members participating remotely or either hybrid or solely remotely, you have to be able to see them when they're discussing or voting on issues, on a matter. So taking a quick look at it, it might be similar to the one we had last year. Kevin is gonna be looking closely at it. And Mary Beth is actually helping us review the data agreement, the sharing information one that's come out. Because we actually do have language for those. And just before I came in, those two have been scheduled for public hearing on Monday. So I wouldn't be surprised if the other bills, the language will come out in the next couple of days and a hearing be scheduled on them next week. So I think that's where we are.
Another one would be maybe the AI.
Oh, the AI.
There's it's kind of complicated.
It's complicated.
We are submitting testimony regarding this artificial intelligence bill. I told you about the task force that had been set up, and there's a very comprehensive bill that came out that we had hoped would provide for more transparency than it does. So our testimony is basically going to be about that the public should be able to understand what algorithms are used for, what types of decisions are being made based upon them, how otherwise they're going to be used, and various things like that. It's, like I said, a very comprehensive bill, but not too much regarding public information, unfortunately. So we'd like to see a lot more there, if not this year, down the road. So we're going to speak up about that. So, yeah, so it's getting busy. I think the hearing on that is today.
So, that one's.
And so we submitted written testimony on that.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Farris. I have a question.
Yes.
A follow-up question for Mr. Blair. Are witness statements in criminal cases that are written out exempt from disclosure? And this bill would extend that to videotaped ones on body cameras. Do I understand that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. Signed, written. So a written witness statement that the witness signs, those are exempt. This would extend that to include if they record you on a body camera. Just the way that it's written, it doesn't specify, you know, signed or recorded by body camera. It just says any witness statement. So our fear is that, you know, this could lead to redacting, you know, information from police reports that is not a sworn statement, but an officer's interpretation of, you know, what a witness said, because they could say, well, that was a witness statement, and take out that kind of information.
I got it. Thank you very much, Russell.
Yep, you're welcome.
And that bill is in public safety.
Public
right?
safety, yeah.
Public safety. So, okay.
Thank you.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any new business?
No new business.
And entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Street, I move we adjourn.
Okay.
Motion's been made and seconded. We'll take a roll call. Those in favor of adjourning. Commissioner Farish.
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeshi. Commissioner Fuzeshi.
Yes.
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 Commissioner Hankin.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, all of yes. Passes unanimously. We're adjourned. Thank you all. Great job.
Commissioner Farris, Commissioner Fitzgerald, have a good week.